Fenix. Life's getting better.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
The Paracast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Paracast.
Today we're going to honor somebody that many of you never heard of. But to us and the people deeply involved in UFO research, he was considered what we call the Rock of Ufology. And to honor Lucius Farish on the Paracast, Chris and I have assembled some longtime friends of mine, Jerome Clark, whom I've known for, you know, as long as there's been time, Kurt Southerly, Rick Hilberg, he's new to the show. We'll talk to Rick a little bit later because he used to be involved with a magazine called UFO Magazine, having nothing to do with the UFO magazine that we all know about that was run by Don and Vicki Ecker and later by Bill and Nancy Burns. Of course, Nancy Talbot, whom we've talked to on a number of occasions about crop circles, but also has a long association with Lucius Farish. Jerry Clark, since you are the honorary historian here amongst our crew, would you tell our listeners who was Lucius Farish?
Well, Lou was somebody that I knew, like you, Gene, about as long as I've been in this subject, which is back in the early 60s. Lou and I began corresponding about 1964, 1965. And I think that that's how a lot of us got to know each other. Ray Palmer used to have a Flying Saucer Club news department in his magazine, Flying Saucers, and it was really served a great, what we would now call a networking function. And all of us got in touch directly or indirectly through Flying Saucer Club news. And
it was almost like the first Facebook. Before there was a Facebook, there was a Flying Saucer Club news.
And I think that directly or indirectly, Lou and I began corresponding. He was always a few years older than I am, and Lou was just like so many of us, just someone who stumbled into the subject and thought, this is interesting. I'd like to know more about this. And in those days, you know, it was really hard to find people to communicate with about, you know, a fringe subject like this. So when you found people who seemed to know something and with whom you were personally compatible, you had old-fashioned correspondence, putting letters through the mail, waiting for a letter to come from your correspondent. And all of us did that very actively. And Lou and I corresponded pretty much for the rest of the rest of his life. And Lou was perhaps his most lasting contribution that people would know him for was he put together UFO News Clipping Service, which was exactly what it sounded like, a bunch of current newspaper clippings put into legal-sized paper and put in the mail and kept us all up to date in the pre-internet days about UFO sightings and Fortean phenomena in the newspapers. Beyond that, Lou had a UFO conference down in Arkansas where he lived all of his life, and which I never attended. I was never invited to, sad to say. But I could understand why, because Lou and I didn't really see things the same. He was more oriented toward contactees and things like that than I was. And we'd argued about that at one time many years ago and quite loudly and vociferously, and then we just agreed to disagree. And in the course of my life, I met Lou in person, I think, only twice. And I was just struck at what a nice man he was. He was soft-spoken and gentle in his manner, and I just really enjoyed being in his company. I wish I could have done that more often. But he was somebody who, through persistence and through the contributions that he made in his own way, you know, will be remembered. He was just somebody who just was a good guy and made a mark in the right way. don't know what else to say about him, but I know that I will miss him.
He wasn't a self-promoter. That's one of the reasons why I think many people may have heard the name but weren't familiar with Lou and his work and who he was.
Well, one thing that I think a lot of people out there should realize is that Lou Farish was not a self-promoter. A lot of the name people in this field, with some exceptions like Jerry and others, they don't go around touting themselves and building up a cult of personality. I think Lou, one of his, the news clipping services Jerry mentioned before was like the internet before the internet. And that's how I got to know him. It was very, very important when that clipping service came to my mailbox. And I think one of the things that our listeners will find out today is what a visionary he was in terms of his conference and the news clipping service.
Nancy Talbot, you knew Lou Farish very well. Tell us how you remember him.
Well, I didn't. Very few people knew Lou well. He was a very private, southern gentleman. But I did know, and have some information here, from this marvelous guy, Jerry Blackburn, who grew up with Lou, knew Lou very well, and was with him throughout these last several months, making sure that Lou was informed about, he got messages and cards and everything from all of us. And he told me that at the memorial service, a couple of things came out that even he didn't know. First of all, that Lou could read the newspaper. He was quite smart. And he could read newspapers when he went to the first grade, that he was valedictorian of his high school class and president of his high school class for almost all the years he was in school. What I loved about him personally was, because my father was a Southerner and because I was raised in the South, I like this very understated, fairly gentle way. This self-promotion crap I can't stand. And Lou, he went after the information that he thought was significant without any particular regard for whether you were famous or not famous, or he cared about whether your work was good and whether it would be informative for his audience, which were primarily Southerners. And I think a lot of what he did was create that hospitality atmosphere, which the South is rightfully famous for, by also having this fabulous thing called the Lone Star Bar. And it turns out that Gary Massey and Tom Adams and Dave Perkins, who were the original guys that were taking on the whole cattle mutilation thing, they knew Lou way back when. From that Fort, what was it called? Fort something or other, Arkansas? Fort Smith. Yes. And they all sort of connected up, apparently, from that conference. And when Lou decided to start the Eureka Springs thing, Gary went with him and took the way the physical layout down there at Eureka Springs allowed Gary to take a few rooms on the very edge of one row of these, rooms from hotels. And he opened them up and just made a free bar. And we all would buy stuff, potato chips and, all that kind of stuff, and put in some booze. And Gary would cook for everybody, fajitas that would just burn your mouth off. He played bass, and Dave Perkins, we ran this little band, and Dave was the lead singer and guitar player. And then in addition, we had Dave Murphy on percussion, and a guy named Steve Martin who did a lot of the lead guitar work. And they'd sit in the back room of this double section that they used for this and play music, original music as well as well-known hits, hours and on end with everybody and their mother. I mean, the place would be so jam-packed, you couldn't see straight. And it was in that atmosphere where people, serious researchers, would hang out and they could talk without cameras and without microphones and argue amongst themselves, seriously, carry on real debates about what a particular finding meant or didn't mean. a very serious discussion in these situations with all this fabulous music going on the whole time.
I'll tell you what, we'll get more into the music and lots more with our all-star panel with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The Tech Night Owl Live is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service, such as Steve Jobs, the best-selling biography from Walter Isaacson. For that free audiobook, go to audiblepodcast.com/owl. That's audiblepodcast.com/owl. You know, we develop trust in the people we know, but we don't really know someone we can't see. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It's a simple online meeting service. It's GoToMeeting by Citrix. All it takes is a webcam and a click to instantly collaborate. You can start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. You can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to FakeTV.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
With Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien, you're in the Paracast. We are honoring the late Lucius Farish, who meant a lot to many people in the UFO field, particularly those who were involved in the 70s and 80s. We have Nancy Talbot of BLT Research, who, of course, is specialized in crop circle investigation. My old buddy Kurt Southerly, who's also written quite a bit on UFOs. Jerry Clark, our favorite UFO historian. And Rick Hilberg, who's new to the show. And we'll get into a lot more detail, Nancy, about what you remember from Lou Farish. I wanted to get into some other remembrances first. Kurt, it's been, I think, over 2 years since you've been on the Paracast, and we're so glad to have you back, my friend. Tell us how you remember Lou Farish.
Well, Lou is one of the first people that I got in touch with on a regular basis once I got involved in UFO research. And, in fact, I have to echo something that Jerry mentioned earlier. He said that back there was a point in time when you first started, as an individual, you would first start to get involved in something like this. And when you hooked up with somebody or you met someone or heard of someone who had a similar interest, you tended to gravitate toward that person. And that's what happened with me and Lou. At one point, I don't remember how I managed to get his address. It may have been from Rick Hilberg. I sent Lou a letter. He responded with a short letter, and that set off a series of letters. And, of course, this is long before email. And we corresponded through the mail probably in the order of one, maybe two letters a week for years. I mean, we'd discuss anything. I talked to Lou a couple of times on the telephone. He would actually have to go to a payphone to call me or to receive my call because he didn't have a phone at the house at the time. But I felt about Lou like he was the big brother that I never had during that period. I mean, he was somebody that I could bounce off the wildest ideas, the craziest concepts about UFOs or paranormal phenomena of any sort, and he would listen and he would understand. He wouldn't always agree with me. In fact, most of the time we didn't agree, but he would listen. He would throw a response back either over the phone or through a letter, and we would just continue this, and it was this constant dialogue that went on for years. And, of course, then finally I did get to meet him during the infamous trip that Gene and I made to the Fort Smith Conference where we stopped at Plumerville and actually picked up Lou and took him along. And I guess, Gene, we can probably get into that a little later.
Well, you know, it's very funny, too, because I think that was the last for that car. It started smoking and belching every time we'd start the car. And this, if you look up the history on Wikipedia, look up the history of the Mazda RX-2, one of the first of the Mazda rotary engine cars in the U.S., and you'll see what went wrong and what the defects were. But that's what happened. So I could say the Fort Smith, Arkansas event in 1975 pretty well did that car in. And by the way, if you go online, check my Facebook page, there's a picture of me at that event with Stanton Friedman. I will not say who has aged better.
As far as the car goes, I remember we left Plumerville with Lou in the back. Literally, a cloud of smoke billowing out of that car all the way to Fort Smith.
It was white smoke, by the way.
Yes, it was.
And technically, it's when the rotor seals get... And I don't want to get into automotive stuff. It was pretty crazy. But you also bought a present with you.
Yes, I did.
For Lou Farish. And this is a famous lunch meat, I guess.
Well, I think this was an idea that you and I had cooked up together. You know, I mean, you were, at the time, you were kind of a quasi-Pennsylvania native, and, of course, you knew about Lebanon bologna. I don't know how many of your listeners have ever heard of Lebanon bologna. I'm sure that a lot of them have. Some maybe in the West Coast have never heard of it. But I bought an entire log of Lebanon bologna. This is about a two-and-a-half-foot-long log. This thing's about, 6 inches in diameter. And I
had
about this in one of the letters, and he had never had Lebanon bologna. He had never heard of it. Anyway, I took this along on the trip, and when we got there, Gene and I presented this to Lou, and he tucked it away in his house, and we took off for Fort Smith. Months later, long after the conference is over and we're back in our normal routines, Lou and I were again corresponding, and one day I received a letter from him, and all it said, typed very neatly in the middle of the page, was, "The baloney is all gone." And he later we talked about it a little more seriously, and he said it was terrific. He said he really, you know, would have liked to have had another log of this stuff, and I should have just packed another one up and sent it to him, but for some reason I never did. It was just one of those kind of comical things that had nothing at all to do with the UFO phenomenon or any kind of 2014 phenomenon, but it was part of the spirit, part of the atmosphere of the UFO club, if you want to call it that, back at the time.
Yeah.
And Gene and I talked about this a little before the show. This people like Lou and some of the others that have already passed on, and of course we're getting up there ourselves. None of us are young anymore. We're part of a dying breed. And when we're gone, there isn't going to be anything like that again ever. Because the kids today that are doing their research, quote-unquote research, on the Internet, they don't understand. I think maybe Chris is probably one of a few of the younger people that are out there that are still doing some serious research. But for the most part, it's just not happening anymore. And it's sad, and Lou was part of that. Lou was in the vanguard of that.
Yeah, he was, too.
By the way, that other voice, we got another voice we're going to introduce here, and that is somebody I've known longer than anyone on this panel, for better or worse. His name is Rick Hilberg, and as I mentioned when I introduced you earlier, Rick, you once had a magazine called UFO Magazine, no relationship to the current one, but of course you never trademarked the name, so you have no rights against the current one. Tell us about the original UFO Magazine.
Well, the original UFO magazine started about the time I first got in touch with Lou Farish, and that was probably, I would say, about 1962. Again, you know, as you mentioned before, that iconic column in Ray Palmer's magazine, the Flying Saucer Club News, I got in touch with several researchers, or we like to call ourselves researchers. We were just teen ufologists. And one of those being Alan Greenfield, the Southern fellow from, he was then living in Atlanta. And actually, Alan gave me Lou Farish's name and address and everything. And I, you know, started to correspond with Lou. And I would send him the UFO magazine. And that's kind of how we hooked up together. But a UFO magazine ran from like 1962 up until 1970. And my good friend, the late Al Manick, who started a friendly rival publication called Flying Saucer Digest, approached me and said, "How'd you like to join forces?" And this was back in 1970. We indeed, joined forces, and that's when UFO magazine was gone. You're right, I never trademarked it or anything like that. And when the later day magazine came out, it was kind of like, boy, I did better than this. And I'm rather proud of the UFO magazine, the old zine. And that, we carried a lot of, nice speculative articles, a lot of sightings, and we took a very, very, conservative approach, as I think, most people took in those days.
Hey, we have Rick Hilberg with us. We have Kurt Southerly, Jerry Clark, Nancy Talbot, and you're on with Gene and Chris because you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
When it comes to running a successful business, there are many things you have to get right. But one thing is often overlooked, and that's protecting the data that powers your business. Computers, servers, external hard drives, and even tape backups are vulnerable to failure. In the U.S. alone, over 140,000 hard drives fail each and every week. According to one study, only 7% of companies that lose their data centers for 10 days or more survive beyond the year. So I want to tell you about our friends at Mosey, the most trusted name in online backup. Give our friends at Mosey a call. They've been doing this for a long time and run the most secure, most trusted online backup service. Right now, you could save 15% by using the promo code PODCAST15. That's PODCAST15. Call 877-669-9776. That's 877-669-9776. Or visit MoseyPro.com. That's MozyPro.com.
Whether you want to send roses, carnations, whether you've got hundreds to spend or just a little, Farm Fresh Flowers is your place for Valentine's flowers, birthdays, anniversaries. Call right now and save 12% with the code RADIO-K. That's RADIO-K. Go to farmfreshflowers.com, type it in the coupon code, or call them at 800-999-2109. 800-999-2109. Call them now. Farmfreshflowers.com, code RADIO-K.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hvextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hvextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
With Gene and Chris, we have an all-star guest lineup with Nancy Talbot, Jerome Clark, Kurt Sutherly, Rick Hilberg. New to our show, Rick. Of course, you've heard the others. And we're talking about the life and times of not just Lucius Farish, but also life and times of the UFO field, especially during the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So, Rick, there's another thing we should talk about. And this is something that I mentioned before. We did a show, by the way, honoring the late Richard Hall, who at that time in the 60s was a big wig, the second in command or the acting director over at NICAP, Major Keogh's organization. And we've talked about this because on that particular trip back in 1965, you and I, Rick, Alan Greenfield, and one of my friends from Brooklyn, New York, Marty Salkind, haven't heard from him in years. I think this whole experience completely upset him. But you were with me. We go to the headquarters of NICAP, National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, in Washington, D.C., off DuPont Plaza, very near where, in the movie Day the Earth Stood Still, Michael Rennie gets shot down. A stone's throw from there. Mm-hmm. Okay. What was your feeling about what you were dragged into?
Well, it was a very funny situation. Of course, you and I and Greenfield were quite active in the UFO field at that time. Greenfield had several publications over the years. You had a very nice publication at the time, as I recall. I can't remember the name of the doggone it. Was it the UFO Sighter or Reporter or something like that? I can't remember. But anyway, we were all very involved. Actually, the day before this confrontation happened on Connecticut Avenue, we all drove down to Luray, Virginia to interview the famous Major Keogh, Don Keogh. And we spent a whole afternoon with him, and I believe you had a tape recorder and or a Greenfield did or whatever. And we you know, had a very nice chat with him and discussed UFO research and whatnot. The next day, we were scheduled to visit the NICAP offices. And we walked into the office and introduced ourselves. And then Mr. Hall came out, Dick Hall came out and saw Eugene. And he said, you know, you're not welcome here. You know, please leave the office. So all of us left. And as I recall, we were, you know, somewhat indignant about the whole thing. It was not really fair. I mean, you had criticized NICAP in print a few times, and particularly, you know, along with Jim Moseley. We immediately, you know, took offense at this. This was not playing fair. And I think we went down to a stenographer's office somewhere in the vicinity and dictated a letter to Ray Palmer and had it notarized, telling of the whole, you know, sorry affair.
And Ray ran a letter from us and an article called No Investigations Can Actually Proceed, which, of course, was NICAP again. And what's right. More interesting is before we did that, though, I knew Ray Palmer. You and I were on that trip.
Yeah.
We met Ray Palmer in Amherst, Wisconsin. And I called Ray and I said, what do you want us to do? What do you think we should do about this? And he said, just send me the letter and I'll take care of it. He sure did. Now, at the same time, we had this movement then called Hall Must Fall, something that Jim Moseley and I devised. And what, a year or two later, Hall was gone from NICAP.
Yes. And not too long after that, NICAP itself, you know, sort of self-destructed over the years. There have been so many allegations about, you know, that it was taken over by, you know, government influences or whatever. But I think it was just a very ineptly run organization. And actually, the main thrust of NICAP was not so much, it was twofold. One, to try to end their perceived government censorship of UFO information through the vehicle of congressional hearings. And they came out with a rather large book in 1964 that Dick Hall edited, the UFO Evidence, Volume 1 of it. And it had hundreds and hundreds of cases in there. And it was basically mailed to all the members of Congress in the hope of, you know, getting congressional hearings. And I think that's really where NICAP fell down, because they put their entire thrust behind getting these congressional hearings and trying to break the silence group, as Kehoe used to sometimes call them. And they lost track of the fact that they were, you know, there to really investigate the phenomenon and to try to come up with some answers. And in my mind, at least, I think that's their big downfall. Of course, organizations such as MUFON, who was really, you know, their thing was to really actively investigate UFOs and to document what they found. And I think that's why they succeeded and NICAP just kind of faded away into obscurity.
You covered a lot of that period, Jerry. What's your take on NICAP? I know we've talked about it a bit before, but maybe amplify it in terms of what Rick just said.
Yeah, I think that everything that Rick says is true. I just want to add some background and detail to this. First of all, I want to say that Dick Hall was a very close friend of mine and my hero in this field. That said, I also know that Dick had a short fuse, and sometimes even I was at the receiving end of it. But that aside, NICAP, basically, because of Kehoe's obsessions, became, at least in its public face, a lobbying group. Kehoe was convinced there was a big Air Force cover-up, and the way to uncover it, of course, was through congressional hearings. So if you read the NICAP UFO Investigator, its publication, it was mostly about battling the Air Force. But what was going on behind the scenes, and I didn't really appreciate this until I spent a lot of time in the NICAP files while I was researching my UFO encyclopedia in the 1990s, and that is, NICAP really did fantastic investigative work through its subcommittees. It had set up the system. Dick Hall was responsible for this, setting up these subcommittees throughout the country. And they were headed, for the most part, by very good, energetic, intelligent people who really, really did superb jobs investigating UFO cases. In fact, the late Dr. James McDonald, who was a physicist interested in UFOs, discovered these files, too, and he said, this is the model of how you conduct the UFO investigation. Unfortunately, very little of that marvelous field work came to light. It was just filed in these big, fat files at NICAP. It was not the subject of books or lengthy papers detailing the investigations of specific cases as it should have been. It's just a lot of that stuff emerges in my encyclopedia. Some of the articles that I wrote are based on the NICAP investigations, stuff that was never published or publicized before. But NICAP really was a group that kind of worked against itself in some ways. And finally, what I want to say is, no, the CIA did not take down NICAP. It was really bad administration. And you
NICAP took down NICAP,
trial.
As they say, right?
Yes, NICAP did in NICAP, right.
Well, I think one of the things you mentioned is that, you know, Major Kehoe, all his charms, all the ability he had and the people he knew, he wasn't a very good administrator.
He was a terrible administrator. In fact, what happened was that some of the well-fixed members of the board, starting with J.B. Hartraft, became really concerned when they began studying the bylaws and discovered that if NICAP went under and it had significant debts by then, the board members would be financially responsible.
Ooh.
And when Hartraft saw this, he just went ballistic. He saw to it that Kehoe was fired. The whole organization was, and Hall was fired. The whole organization was redone to protect the finances of its wealthy benefactors. And eventually the organization just died because it had lost its reason to exist. It was no longer built around a charismatic figure like Kehoe, however incompetent an administrator he was.
You know, and parenthetically, by the way, 10 years later, I interviewed Kehoe over at that Fort Smith UFO conference, as Kurt remembers. I also had a brief encounter with Richard Hall. We shook hands. There's Richard Hall now calling on the other side. And basically, Richard Hall and I shook hands. No harm done. Unfortunately, when we finally got the PowerCast going, and I was thinking of the guests I'd like to have on, Richard Hall was really high on the list, but at that point he was quite ill. And unfortunately, he died, I guess, in virtual poverty at the end of his life. It was kind of sad, really.
He died in poverty, and he has really sacrificed his life for the subject. He had great integrity, great intelligence, and as I say, has always been my model of what a ufologist should be.
I'll tell you what, we're going to have a lot more to talk about. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the PARACAST.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Are you ready to order the official PARACAST t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official PARACAST t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official PARACAST t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official PARACAST t-shirt.
Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official PARACAST store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the PARACAST logo at the official PARACAST store. It's all now available at the official PARACAST store, store.theparacast.com.
I've been telling you about eFoods Direct for a while now. Here are my top 10 reasons to stock up on food from eFoods Direct. Number 10, the food I get from eFoods Direct tastes great. Number 9, the eFoods meals are easy to prepare. 8, eFoods Direct delivers the food right to my front door. 7, most of these meals cost less than $2. 6, with their large variety, I can eat it every day. 5, I always have access to high quality and delicious food. Number 4, eFoods products don't spoil, so I never waste any food. 3, eFoods uses only safe, healthy ingredients. Number 2, I have my own food supply and don't depend on the grocery store. And the number 1 reason I promote eFoods Direct is they build special offers just for my listeners. Folks, don't wait. Get prepared now. We all need to be self-sufficient. Call eFoods Direct at 800-409-5633 and ask for the Alex Jones special. Call eFoods Direct at 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Powerful forces are trying to destroy your health. It's a fact that we're surrounded by a sea of environmental toxins, from mercury in vaccines and dental fillings, to aluminum in chemtrails, to pesticides and toxic chemicals sprayed all over our food. Even nuclear radiation, which is still spewing out of Fukushima, has contaminated the water and food supply in the U.S. But there is a solution. Liquid Zeolite is an extraordinary natural formula which safely and effectively removes all kinds of toxins from the body, including capturing heavy metals, pesticides, viruses, and radioactive particles. Use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com for fatigue, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, and joint pain. Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee and is available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. 100% safe, 100% amazing. Try Liquid Zeolite today.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast, and we're focusing on a lot of subjects here, starting with Lucius Farish and how he inspired us to think about other things. And you kind of think here of this UFO clipping service that he provided for everyone. It's almost like the first Google, because you can get all your information in one place. You didn't have the ability to search online in those days. You didn't have the cheap computers everybody has. Our guests are Kurt Southerly, Rick Hilberg, Jerry Clark, Nancy Talbot. Nancy, why don't you add a few comments here?
Well, I'm listening to these other guys and remembering I was not involved in the UFO field back then, although I actually had a close encounter when I was a kid. But I knew all of these people and was very surprised when I got a call from Lou for the first time to come and be part of the conference. And what I hear people talking about, and I agree with 100%, is Lou is interested in real research, not just stories, not just people's ideas and imaginings, but he wanted and was interested in serious research and serious debate. The fact that I was involved at that time, and still am, in this very scientific approach to the crop circle situation, apparently it fascinated Lou, and that's why he asked me to come down to the conference. And he gave me, I'm so honored now when I think of it, that the information, we had so much information that it was hard to put it in a very narrow, say, 1 hour slot. And so Lou gave me Friday night was my night. And I could go as long, 2 hours, 3 hours, as long as I felt, or as long as I had material to present to that audience. And it was quite an honor. And it gave me the opportunity to present in depth information that in most of these conferences, you really don't have the time to do a very thorough job if you're talking about scientific work, because there are lots of nuances that have to be explained in order for people to get the whole point. And Lou was absolutely intent that that information be made available, and he gave me a fabulous opportunity to do it. I am honored that he did that for me and will never forget it. I think also that Lou, one of his greatest gifts was there are many opinions in the UFO field and in the crop circle field, in all of the anomalous phenomena research. People have many different ideas. And Lou encouraged real discussion, a real debate. not acrimonious, you know, blah, 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 back and forth, you're an idiot, you're a fool, but discussion and debate about a factually derived material. And it was that aspect of his conference, much of which took place at the Lone Star, where people, I mean, they'd sit up all night long. Literally, I saw dawn, I think, every single night that I was down.
There were a couple of years we were up for days.
Yeah. And this would be ongoing, serious discussions where people were presenting very different opinions or ideas and then listening to the next guy's opinions and ideas, picking them apart whenever that could be done. But it was done in the spirit of genuine interest in trying to figure out what the heck was going on.
My earliest exposure to the Eureka Springs Conference was just a couple years after getting involved in this field as an aspiring field investigator. And I remember distinctly my first trip to the Ozark Conference is where I met some of my now longtime friends in the field. And, of course, Tom Adams and Gary Massey, those two unsung heroes. We'll talk about Gary a little bit later, I think, but those two guys did more, I think, to really further the conference and really get the whole vibe of the Lone Star Bar in a really productive way so that people could let their hair down. And really, as Nancy was describing, debate the finer points of our research. And one thing I must say, I mean, I'm jealous, Nancy, that Lou would have you and not only give you a slot but give you the whole evening. Invariably, the 4 or 5 years that I went, Lou would have, on Sunday mornings, he would have 20-minute little mini presentations that, you know, not the main speakers, but other speakers would be invited to give little summations of their work. And wouldn't you know it, every year Lou had me on as the first speaker at 8 in the morning. And
oh,
I remember two or three years in a row, I literally would get about 20 minutes or half hour worth of sleep to be ready for that that Sunday morning slot. So consider yourself lucky in that regard. I always got stuck with the toughest slot in the whole conference.
Now, that is the toughest because everybody was so hungover that if they could get down there, they probably couldn't hear too good.
I know what that slot feels like. I've done that once or twice when it was not with the publisher had me running around promoting the book. It's pretty hard.
You know, there are very few places now. People have become so imbued with their own opinions, and there are very few opportunities now to intelligently discuss ideas because people's egos have gotten involved in whatever their own stance is. And so what happens in many situations now is the egos of somebody surfaces to the point where a real debate, where what you're talking about is the subject, not your opinions. It's very difficult to find an outlet for that anymore. And Lou was an absolute genius at arranging a situation that then allowed for that to happen. And of course, Gary and Tom and David Perkins and Dave Murphy, these guys, they were all part of it. They were part of the ambiance that set the tone, that then made it so that everybody felt free to say whatever was of real interest to them and they wouldn't be attacked. They would be listened to, and then people would raise whatever serious questions they had. There was no holding back, but it wasn't acrimonious. It was real debate.
You know, a lot of that, I think, started with some of the, I mean, I'm kind of a, maybe before I go any further, I better back up a little bit. I'm kind of a Johnny-come-lately to this, outside of Chris, I think, and maybe you, Nancy. Everybody here has been involved in UFO research a lot longer, well, maybe not a lot longer, but probably about 8-10 years longer than I have been. I came into all of this in the late 60s, early 70s. And the Fort Smith Conference, which we referred to a number of times, was one of the first really big conferences that I attended. And, Nancy, you're talking about some of the discussions that went on in Eureka Springs with Lou and Gary Massey and the rest of them, Tom Adams. Adams and Massey were at Fort Smith.
Yeah.
There were, on two or three nights, and Gene, you were part of this. If you recall, we had on a couple of different nights, maybe three different nights, we would have gatherings in somebody's room or another, and there'd be a bunch of us. We'd just crowd in there, and just like Nancy was talking about, we'd be up all night. We'd be just discussing, debating, and it was pretty intense. It was fun. It caused people to think in new ways, come up with new ideas. And I remember, and I think Gene, you actually wrote about this at one point in an article. You said that you were surprised at how much Lou conformed with the feelings about the UFO phenomenon at the time. This new envisioning of the UFO phenomenon, which was coming on about having to do with other dimensions. Something other than hardcore nuts and bolts, which is kind of what Lou was known for at that point. But I mean, the conversation would go back and forth. We'd discuss paraphysical things. We'd discuss nuts and bolts ideas, and it was wonderful. And I remember thinking at the time how lucky I was to have suddenly found myself in the midst of something like that. I mean, at the time I was nobody. I hadn't even written more than maybe a couple of magazine articles, which were pretty terrible, thinking back on them. And having reread some of them recently, they were absolutely hard.
Don't go back and read your early stuff.
Well,
I won't do that either, but I should point out that was one of the most engaging things about many of these UFO conferences to me as well. The fact that you can kind of get together and talk shop, and it wasn't just hanging out at the bar and getting blasted, because I didn't do that, okay? But I realize other people would. But sitting back and having these little sessions where you talk to your peers, you try to assess what's going on, you try to come up with ideas and suggestions, and it was more than holding conferences as you do today. And I think a lot of the conferences today are designed strictly for entertainment,
exactly,
not for people.
Exactly.
Right. We're going to get into more of that as we get to our next segment. If you have a comment or a question about the PowerCast, write us, news@thepowercast.com. Once again, that's news@thepowercast.com. We have Nancy Talbot, Kurt Southerly, Rick Hilberg, Jerry Clark with Gene and Chris. You're in
the PowerCast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.